Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a church in Germany that has the image of a lamb carved in the stone over the entrance. It's there because of an incident that happened during the building of the church. The workers were putting up the steeple when one of them lost his footing and fell into the churchyard below. But he wasn't seriously injured because he fell on a lamb that had been grazing in that churchyard grass. So in thankfulness, the image of a lamb was carved into the stone above the door as a constant reminder that not only was the workman saved by a lamb, but that all of us are saved by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that carving is a good device to remind the churchgoers of this truth about Christ. But there are other things that work as reminders about Christ's truth as well. We all use reminders every day for things that are important to us. Having a plan to remember things can be useful, isn't it? But sometimes there are things we wish we could forget, or that we wish others could forget about us. Now, this reminds me of a true story about a woman who was visiting a church. For weeks, she would come to church, but she wouldn't sign the guest book. She wouldn't tell anyone her name. Finally, she asked to speak to the pastor. And so this is what she told him. "When I was 15, I got a strange illness. No one knows what it was. The doctors said I would die. An elder from my church came to pray for me. He told me to promise God that if I lived through the illness, I would never sin again. I prayed that way, and I got well. So, I never went back to church. For years, I didn't pray. I didn't want God to be reminded that I existed. I was afraid. I was afraid He would remember the promise I broke. But now," she said, "now I know my prayer was wrong. I know Christ has forgiven me. It is a joy to go to church again and to pray again." This woman realized she had wrongly thought that making herself a better person was the price she had to pay. She thought she owed God the cost of being a person without sin. And if you want to be a better person, that's all fine and well and good. But being a better person won't restore your broken relationship with God. Our sin is not something we can deal with on our own. You can't accomplish a restored relationship with God, no matter how good you are, how self-empowered you become, or how far you've raised your consciousness. You can do nothing to restore your broken relationship with God. Only because of the blood of Christ shed on the cross can you be restored to God. And only because Christ is risen,
He is risen indeed, hallelujah,
is that restoration accomplished for you and in you. Yes, a person can reject the gift of Christ's victory if they wish, but doing that leaves a person still dead in their own sin, which is another way of saying leaving them in their broken relationship with God. Like the woman in the story today, her relationship with God had been broken because she thought she needed to make herself a better person. It is only by grace through faith in Jesus' victory, that his offer of a new life in him became her new life. And that same victory, is what gives all of us new life and gives us freedom from the debt of sin and a restored and a true relationship with God the Father in heaven. She learned that while she had hoped that God had forgotten about her, he hadn't. He had only forgotten her sin. That's what the cross of Christ does. It lets God forget our sins. The Old Testament lesson from Isaiah today refers to that. Read verse 17 with me, please, aloud. It says, "Behold, I create new heavens. Nor will they come to mind. The former things not remembered." That is our sin. In the new thing God has done in Jesus Christ, he's made it possible for him to remember us without remembering our sins. That's important. In the new thing that God has done in Christ, he's made it possible for him to remember us without remembering our sin. For us humans, however, remembering oftentimes requires some help, some reminders, like we said before. So I have a question for you. Why are you here today? Why did you come? What did you come here to remember? I think the main thing about coming to church on Easter, and every Sunday for that matter, is to be reminded of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. You came today because Christ is risen. It's important to be reminded of the Lord's word and his work. Like we said, God will not remember the former things. He will not remember our sins. But what we are to remember is the Lord's word to us. We are to remember his words. They are to be remembered and to be lived in by us. We do that through the sacraments that touch us with his grace and mercy and that strengthen us to tell of his victory over sin, death, and the devil. It's the word of Christ that we are reminded of. And believing that word is what gives us new life. So it's important to be reminded of Christ's words. That's why we gather together. And in hearing his words, we are reminded we have new life in Christ and a restored relationship with the Holy God, who is our Father in heaven. Like the reminder that took place in the gospel lesson today. The women came to the tomb, and they found it open. They went inside, and instead of finding the body of Jesus as they had expected, there came two angels. I love the question. I love the question that the angels asked the women. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's a great question. It's as though the angels are wondering, why are you here in the place where the dead reside? But we have to remember, these women had seen Jesus beaten and bruised and crucified and die. And then be put in this very tomb just 3 days before. The angel's question may have caught them off guard and left them feeling stuck and without an answer. But in the gospel lesson, the angels mercifully tell them the only logical answer. He is not here because Christ is risen. I love it when you help with the sermon. And then the angels remind the women of both Jesus' words and where he had said them. In Galilee, before heading to Jerusalem for the last time, Jesus made it clear that he would come to Jerusalem, be persecuted and killed, and then rise again in 3 days. Jesus had said this, and when the angels reminded the women of it, then they too remembered. It was after being reminded that they remembered Jesus' words. In the midst of their grief and their loneliness at being separated by death from Jesus, they had forgotten what Jesus had told them. After all, he had just died 3 days before on Friday, and here it was Sunday, the first day of the week, and they'd begun to settle into the reality that Jesus was dead. They'd put out of mind, more or less, what Jesus had said, which, since he was dead, would only be a natural thing to do. And that is the point for us to remember today. What Jesus did on this day was not merely natural. He'd been careful to tell them what was coming, but not having any experience with someone bringing themselves back to life again after death, the women simply missed the reality of what Jesus meant when he told them all this in Galilee. As St. Paul said in the epistle lesson today out of 1 Corinthians, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." They had only had the experience of Adam, which is all people die. But Christ brings the new thing, new life. Jesus really meant exactly what his word said. He would rise again after being persecuted and dying. And he'd made it clear that his death would be in such a manner that his body would be lifted up for all to see. And that is what happened on the cross. Jesus meant what he said about his death, and he meant what he said about rising to life again. And that's why we have the question from the angels. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Don't you remember what he said? I think one of the things to take away from this is that being reminded of the truth of Jesus Christ is a good thing. Like that lamb over the door of the church in Germany, coming together for worship is a reminder of the truth that is ours in Christ Jesus, who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Today, coming here helps us to be reminded of the reality of what Christ has done for us in dying and rising to life again. So, given that we are together on this glorious morning, be reminded of this. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And be reminded of what's true in our own lives because of Easter. Be reminded of what Jesus' Easter triumph frees us from. Jesus frees me so that I am no longer bound to my sinful ways. Easter means that I will never be alone again with my sin in this world. Jesus' victory over sin, death, and the devil means that those things, sin, death, and the devil, can never again cut me off from God. Like St. Paul said in the last line from the epistle lesson, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. In Christ and His Easter victory over death, I am never alone again. Like the woman in our earlier story, she finally came to understand that she wasn't alone because she knew Christ had indeed forgiven her of all her sins, even as He remembered her. Now I want to close by giving you a suggestion from Martin Luther. Might be helpful in remembering, okay? Luther once suggested that on the wall at the foot of the believer's bed should hang side by side two things, a cross and a person's baptismal certificate. As the Christian goes to bed at night, the last thing they see is the cross of their Savior and their baptismal certificate by which they have been made a part of the body of Christ, and in that they can rest. And then, as they awake in the morning, they are again reminded that they have all that they need in Christ's Easter victory to go and live before God in the righteousness and purity that is theirs, that is yours, by Jesus' gift of faith to you. Remember, you are never again alone in your sins, and your sins are remembered no more. But you are remembered before God's throne of grace because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So go now and live. Live in that remembrance because Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We continue our worship.